with. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Planning Committee of the 27th of September 2022. My name is Councillor Vicky Gould. I am the Chair of the Committee. On my left-hand side, I have my legal representative, Sherry Grant. Around on her left, we have the Democratic Services Officer, which is Monica Henchcliffe. On my right, I have Planning Manager Naomi Perry. I'm going to get my fellow councillors to introduce themselves, starting at the top end with my Vice-Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Ed Barker, and that's about it.
Good afternoon, Councillor Alison Lay.
Good afternoon, Councillor Sheila McKeonan.
Councillor Colin Whittaker, Happy Ward.
Councillor Graham Lamb.
Councillor Louise Walker.
Councillor Bev Ashcroft.
Councillor Greg Hall.
Thank you all. Just a polite reminder to switch off mobile phones so we have no distractions, please. We are not expecting a fire drill, so if the alarm does go off, if you'd like to leave at the door at the back, make your way out into the car park, and that's our assembly point. Thank you. If I can ask you not to call out when individuals are speaking, and also it's obviously polite that we just have one voice at a time. Right, we'll move on to our agenda items. So, agenda item one, apologies for absence, please.
Councillor Brady and Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you. Any declarations of interest today? No. And the minutes of the last meeting, I was not here, so I'd like somebody else to propose those for me, please. Councillor Barker. And seconded? Thank you, Councillor Whittaker. So all those in favour of accepting those as an accurate record? Any against? Any abstentions? Yep. So those have been carried, and I'll sign those for you. Any urgent business to be brought to the committee?
No urgent business, Chairman.
Okay, thank you. So we're on to our planning applications then. And we just have the one this afternoon. and that is for P2022-00355, and I'd like to ask Naomi to present, please.
Okay, thank you. Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. So as the Chair said, one application for your consideration today, which is P2022-00355 at the former Robin Hood Public House, Lee Lane, Bramshill. The proposal is an outline application for the erection of a replacement dwelling with all matters reserved. Here we've got a few slides showing the location of the site where we visited this morning. There was a previous public house in this location here with car parking. There's a number of trees around the site which we'll see photos of shortly. It's at the north of Bramshill, a settlement that doesn't have a settlement boundary, so it's considered open countryside. We have the Oaklands, a Grade 2 listed building to the north of the site, and also a public footpath along the north and crossing Lee Lane to go into Bramshill itself. We did witness this morning that this element of the footpath obviously not been used for some time, but this element here we could clearly see a sign and that it was in use. Just again the same site plan, just zoomed out a bit more, and you can see here kind of the start of Bramshill, the built form of Bramshill. And we've also got Hurst Farm to the south of the application site. Again, just a further zoomed out plan. And here we've got one showing the site location, here to the north with the rest of Bramshill to the south. You can see the full footpath network. And we also, we travelled from the north this morning, and we could see Dagdale Lane, and we discussed applications further along Dagdale Lane for residential use, which I've got another slide to show those. And on here you can also see location of another pub in the village, the Butcher's Arms on Bramshill Road, which we also saw leaving a site visit. So further along Dagdale Lane there's a number of farms and buildings that have been allowed under prior notification applications, so kind of a permitted development for agricultural development. So there have been a number of dwellings created in this location under that route, not as a new build dwelling. Okay, so turning to some aerial photos, here's the site. This is before the pub was demolished. There was a fire, and we can just see the damaged building there. I believe this is from 2017. You can see the Grade 2 listed building to the north and Hurst Farm to the south, and then Lee Lane. And we witnessed today there were no public footpaths along this stretch of Lee Lane. You can also see from here the boundary treatments of the site. So we saw a fence to the south, area of kind of grassland here, and then a number of kind of trees and hedges. Just an image, just some information of what the pub looked like when it did exist. And you can see it fronted the road. So just some photos here. So this is looking from the north of the site. Here's the site entrance here with the hard standing and car park. And the hedge here, this is the boundary with the Oaklands to the north and Hurst Farm to the south. Just the site itself. This is the location of the footpath, but as you can see, and as we saw earlier, not in active use. Again, just looking to the south at the farm buildings and a number of well-established trees along the perimeter of the site and previous hard standing where the pub building was. Again, just another one, you can see the road going into Bramshill itself and the farm. And just another one showing where the previous car park was. And this is standing within the site looking to the east, and we could just see earlier the public footpath which goes across this field south to Bramshill. And again, just another one looking north from the site. And that's Oaklands, the Grade 2 listed building to the north, and a farm beyond. We could just see Dagdale Lane, the lane I highlighted earlier. Okay, so it's an outline application. We don't have any details before us for consideration today, but what the applicant has provided is a plan showing the previous hard standing of the pub. So It was a bit of an odd-shaped traditional country pub with beer garden to the south and then car parking. The applicant has provided an indicative layout to show that a dwelling could be accommodated on the site, but that's that hasn't been formally submitted as a plan, it's just indicative only. So turning to the committee report itself, we've carried out consultation with statutory consultees. We've had no objection from the right-of-way team at the County Council, subject to notes to the applicant to keep footpaths open. We've also had a response from the Peak and Northern Footpath Society, again, no objection, providing that the footpath is not affected by any work taking place. No response from Severn Trent Water. The conservation officer to the previous application didn't perceive any issue in terms of impact on the listed building. That's set out in the report. The Highway Authority, they didn't respond to this application, but as you can see from the officer's report, it is a resubmission of a recent application where the Highway Authority did object on the basis there was no footpath to the site and it would rely on the private car, therefore not being sustainable development. Environmental Health have not objected to the planning application, but would suggest noise in respect of noise mitigation due to the proximity to the farm to the south. Uttoxeter Rural Parish Council support the proposal, and the ward member has called it in for that reason, that the Parish Council would support regeneration of the site with any obvious restrictions and conditions, and they recognise it would be beneficial for the community. Turn to publicity. So we've had three neighbour responses. I've listed a summary of the comments there. But the comments are that the application is largely similar to that was previously refused earlier this year. The changes submitted as part of the application would not be sufficient to overcome the previous reasons for refusal. And those changes really relate to the applicant committing to improving biodiversity across the site through different planting and schemes, and also that the dwelling itself would meet environmental kind of high standards. But we don't have any kind of details of those. Within the application planning statement, there's reference to antisocial behaviour on the site, but we've received comments to say that's no evidence that has taken place. There's been queries regarding licensing, objections to the site being outside the settlement boundary, impact on the footpath, the site's not in a sustainable location, the accommodation above the public house was not a separate dwelling and therefore, you know, can't be considered as a replacement dwelling in this instance. Concerns were raised regarding foul and surface water drainage, concerns with overlooking and loss of privacy for neighbours, concerns about the loss of trees and hedges around the site, which we saw earlier. One comment saying that there wouldn't be significant economic benefit to the scheme. The concern about the proximity to the dwelling to the adjacent farm, which we saw earlier, that there isn't a need for housing and the public house should be rebuilt. So turning to the assessment itself, in assessing the application we've used the National Planning Policy Framework, the East Staff's Local Plan, the East Staff's Design Guide, the Housing Choice SPD and the Parking SPD in coming to a recommendation before you today. In principle, the development is not considered acceptable as it does not offer a suitable form of sustainable development. The site is not located in a location where new housing development is supported and does not meet the criteria for exceptional development, in that it is not a replacement or conversion scheme and it hasn't demonstrated a need for housing in this location that meets the exceptional criteria set out in SP 18. In terms of design and impact, the site has been demolished for a number of years and is now a vacant brownfield site in the countryside. And whilst the proposal has the potential to tidy up this derelict area of land, it is considered that it will result in an additional built form in the open countryside, which would not be in accordance with policy SP 24 of the local plan. In terms of amenity, it's considered that a scheme could be achieved on the site which could meet the separation distance and amenity SPD, so there'll be no impact on neighbours. Turning to highway matters, as said mentioned earlier, the Highway Authority haven't responded to this application that they did to the previous one, recently refused, which was almost identical. And the basis of their recommendation was that the development rely on the private car would exacerbate the risk of conflict between vehicles and pedestrians in this location and cyclists due to the lack of footway and street lighting in this particular location, and no safe access has been demonstrated. Turn to the historic environment. The conservation officer previously concluded that the proposal appears capable of being detailed in a way as to avoid unacceptable harmful impact to the special significance of the neighbouring listed building via its setting as a desirable objective detailed in section 66 of the Planning Act 1990. And given that the current proposal is for one dwelling rather than two, it's considered there'll be no significant impact to the significance of the listed building to the north. The site's not enough flood risk zone, and there's no perceived drainage impacts. Turn to biodiversity. We saw a number of trees around the site, but it is considered that a scheme could be delivered which would mitigate any impact, and the applicant has also set out in the planning statement some elements that they believe could be secured by condition which would result in biodiversity net gain, and I've referenced some of them there, such as wildflower, native tree planting, bat and bird boxes, etc., but we haven't been demonstrated a quantifiable gain in that regard. The site falls within the 15-kilometre zone of influence for the Cannock Chase SAC, so any approval on this site would be subject to a financial contribution to go towards that mitigation scheme. So in conclusion, the proposal does not represent a sustainable development, and there are no material considerations of significant weight to overcome the conflict. And the recommendation is that the application is refused on two grounds. One, the submission fails to demonstrate the need for housing in this out-of-settlement boundary location. The site is situated in an unsustainable location with no immediate local facilities, which would necessitate the use of the private motor vehicle as the prominent mode of transport. And the absence of a footpath, street lighting, and the narrowness of the road in this location is likely to lead to an increase in highway safety implications. The second ground is that the proposed development would result in additional built form which would be prominent in this location, and the new dwelling would constitute an intrusive, unnecessary and unsustainable form of development in the countryside, contrary to policies SP1, SP8, SP16, SP18, SP24, 25 and DP1 of the local plan and national planning policy framework, and there are no material considerations that outweigh the harm to the planning policies identified above. Thank you.
Thank you, Naomi. I'd like to go to our public speaking part, and our first speaker is Mr. Andrew Whitehurst, please. Good afternoon. Our public speakers have 3 minutes, which will be timed on the screen behind me. When you're ready, just press the button. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Andrew Whitehurst. My family owns Hurst Farm, which is adjacent to the former Robin Hood site. I would like to start by saying we're not objecting to this planning application. We would just like to make you all aware of some concerns, and we hope that some form of mitigation plans could be included if the application is to be approved. When the Robin Hood pub was on the site, its main purpose was a business. Our farm next door is also first and foremost a business. Both businesses produce their own forms of noise, odours, traffic and such alike, with deliveries and collections early mornings and evenings. But each cancelled the other out, and we work alongside the pub happily. Now there's no pub on this application. The proposed to change to a residential dwelling, we have concerns about the possible future conflicts. As we understand, the agent of change in this case, the applicant, is responsible for the effects that this change may cause. Ultimately, it is for the applicant to demonstrate that there would be no harmful impact on the new dwelling as a result of the establishment and existing operations. Incorporate and propose an acceptable mitigation if there is a potential for harm. We are a working dairy farm operating 365 days of the year. The farm produces noise, odours, dust, light, traffic and flies. We hope that the planning committee will advise the applicant to include suitable forms of mitigation, such as triple glazing to eliminate noise, air conditionings to avoid entry of flies through open windows, also planting trees and shrubbery to hopefully avoid noises and possible future conflicts. Thank you very much for the committee for listening to me.
Thank you, Mr. Whitehurst. Right. Our second speaker then, I'd like to call Mr. Alistair Pritchard, please. Good afternoon. So 3 minutes when you're ready.
Good afternoon, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm Alistair Pritchard, along with my wife, Laura Pritchard. We're the owners of the Oaklands, neighbouring and immediately to the north of the proposed development. I just want to highlight a number of key observations from our perspective. Firstly, the footpath. The current plan does not appear to leave sufficient room for the public footpath that runs within the site and along the entire northern boundary to the bottom corner near the farm buildings. This was actually set out in a map that was provided to us by the council themselves prior to us purchasing the property. Appreciate I'm not allowed to send around documents in here, but I do have a copy if anybody wants to see it, and it does differ to the one you've just showed on screen. That for us is the most critical item. Surface water. Over the last number of years, we've experienced a lot of significant increase in surface water runoff from the proposed development site, which has caused waterlogging on our land and has resulted in us having to invest significantly at our personal cost in land drainage. As our land is significantly lower than the public house site, we are concerned that any development would cause further detrimental surface water impact to our land. The boundary, which I understand you saw today. Along the boundary to the north and west of the proposed development site, we have established trees, hedges and bushes on our side that we have maintained to provide screening and privacy. And this is of particular importance given that our land is lower than the proposed development site. Also referenced within the application itself is acknowledgement of the importance of the boundary treatment surrounding our Grade 2 listed property, the Oaklands. If any development was permitted, we would want assurance that the trees, hedges and bushes will not be tampered with, as any damage to these would have a serious detrimental impact on our privacy. Taking those things together, we're concerned that if this planning permission were granted for the site would immediately be sold to a developer, and we would be concerned that they would not have the same regard to the aforementioned concerns, in particular the footpath or the boundary trees and hedges. We're concerned that we'd return home one day and just to find a developer has cut down all our trees and hedges and then just says, oh, sorry, I didn't realise, by which point, of course, it's too late. We do note the points that have been made earlier, that it's been refused previously on the basis of seven planning policies, but the reason we wanted to be here today is to really highlight the point in respect of the public footpath and the boundary treatment. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Mr. Pritchard. And our final speaker, we have Mr. Jim Malkin, please. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
3 minutes when you're ready, then.
Fantastic. Good afternoon, members of the Planning Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of our client's application. Just for a point of clarification, the reason we are back with a resubmitted application is because the previous one was refused under delegated powers despite a previous calling, so we were sort of forced to resubmit it. The site has been delegated since the shell of the former public house and residential accommodation was removed on safety grounds by the applicant. Following the fire, the external walls were left standing. Officers of the council advised that there would be no issues in rebuilding the property. However, owing to children playing in the shell, the applicant took the sensible decision on safety grounds to take down the remaining structure. It now appears that she's been penalised for doing so. Previously, the building was operated as a public house and restaurant, the five-bed apartment occupied separately to the pub on the first floor. It is now the intention of the applicant to rebuild the building on the same footprint in the same architectural style as the former Robin Hood, but for it to be used as a single dwelling. As I'm sure members will appreciate, it's not viable or practical to rebuild a pub on the site, especially as the nearby Butcher's Arms has reopened. Your officer's reason for refusal considers that the property is in an unsustainable location with no access to local facilities, and that additional built form would be prominent and appear intrusive in the settlement, in this outer settlement location. We respectfully refer members back to the fact that there was significant building on the site until 2016, which had been there since the 1800s. We therefore fail to see how a building can be considered intrusive when a structure has always been present on the site in living memory. It's also very clear that the living accommodation would have been provided alongside the pub, which will result in the same impacts as set out regarding access and sustainability. This is before visitors to the pub arriving in motor cars are even considered. We are therefore of the view that the provision of a single dwelling on the site is a betterment in sustainability terms. There were no technical reasons for members to turn down this application. It's supported by the parish council. The pub and associated residential accommodation always coexisted alongside the neighbouring farm without problems, as do existing dwellings in the nursing home at the moment. It's also noted that the environmental health team have no objections, and we will be happy to work with Mr. Whitehurst to discuss issues surrounding odour control, noise control, and we'll accept any conditions that the committee deem necessary. We feel strongly that officers have taken an incredibly hard-line stance in their interpretation of planning policy in this application. There are a large number of mitigating factors that lend support to this proposal, which would allow members to take a more pragmatic and proactive interpretation of planning policy and allow this application to be approved. The site is brownfield. The proposal replaces an existing structure, albeit that one that was removed on safety grounds, and reinstates a former residential use on the site. This is not a greenfield site. The application shows an entirely unique set of circumstances. Approving this scheme would not set a precedent for similar developments in other Tier 3 villages. Whilst a design to match the former Robin Hood can be secured via a future reserve matters application, as can the highest level of sustainability credentials within the proposed new building. Members can add conditions requiring this, and they can also request a detailed application returns to the Planning Committee to ensure that you are comfortable with the final design and its siting. Whilst we understand members' reluctance to overturn officers' recommendations, this is, however, one case where a pragmatic and common sense approach needs to be taken, and we would urge you today to approve this application. Thank you for your time. Finally, whilst the footpath is there, we are legally obliged to keep the footpath open, and any future development will not be able to block that footpath. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Malkin. So we've heard from our public speakers. I'd like to open the floor up for councillors to discuss. Councillor Whittaker.
As the ward councillor for the area, Mr. Malkin did sort of mention that this should have been called in on the previous application, so that refusal was taken sort of out of turn in some respects. This was a very busy pub. I mean, we all used to use it. The traffic used to be horrendous around that corner. They were parking on, right on the bend on the far side, obstructing the road. So it was a dangerous position then. This is quite the opposite, in fact. The reason it's called in was because the parish council and everybody I've spoken to in the local inhabitants have all said that they wanted to develop on site to tidy it up. They weren't happy when the first application came in. It was for multiple houses on that site, which could have created some additional problems. But now, I haven't heard anybody speaking against it, and I don't think listening to what the people said today, there's no objections that can't be overcome through conditioning or the other things through the time. There is a footpath to the centre of the village, so I don't think that's too much of a problem. It's been a location. I think it is quite a small site, but it could be considered a brownfield site. They could also argue the fact that it's a brownfield site. If somebody came forward with a housing survey, there could be multiple houses on that site, which would probably go along with the policy somewhat easier. So that could be a thing. Also, the pub could be built in its previous form and open again, which is not going to be, in the economic times, is not going to be very good. I think most people I've spoken to, and they've been firm on the fact that they just want betterment of the area at a minimal disruption. And I think we're in a position where we can condition any building on that ground to so everybody is happy with what's there. And I'm sure the residents would be delighted at the fact that the site was tidied up. There was no sort of there was no area people could meet late at night or anything like that. There'd be none of that, and I think it would be beneficial to the whole area to have it tidied up with restrictions which we could carry forward, so everybody would be quite happy. So at the present time, I'm probably in favour of going ahead with this application.
Thank you, Councillor Whittaker. Councillor Barker.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I think this could be a win-win in some respects. I mean, part of our SP8 says development necessary to secure a significant improvement to the landscape. what else are we going to do with that piece of land? Just leave it as a derelict site full of weeds, you know. So there is that. And there's also the chance, I mean, you could see to this morning that footpath number 8, I think that's what it's called, was not in use. So that can be reinstated as part of the development plan. So it's a win-win in that direction as well. I can understand the Whitehurst's concern about having a private house next door to a farm, because somebody said to me when we got back on the bus, do you ever get used to the smell of it? Well, you do, but you're living in the countryside. That's what you expect. And as long as there's no comeback on that, I don't see that that's a problem. So, like Councillor Whittaker, I'm sort of inclined to be in favour of the application.
Thank you, Councillor Barker. Councillor Ashcroft.
Yeah, following on from Councillors Whittaker and Barker, I'm just a bit concerned on one aspect. And I think Councillor Hall mentioned it this morning. If it was a pub, you'd agree to rebuild it. So that's more cars, more people, and you're now talking about one house with less people and less cars. Can you explain why that would be? Why would you refuse one but would approve another?
Yeah, I suppose it's the sustainability argument. You know, the planning system doesn't want to see houses scattered all over the place where people are reliant on the private car. They want sustainable development, so houses located where people can easily access, you know, day-to-day services and facilities. And obviously, there are exceptions to that. Of course, there are. Otherwise, you know, no one would live in the countryside. But that's very different, you know, day-to-day to having to travel to work every day to a pub where, you know, people go to it, I suppose, less frequently than, you know, people day-to-day travelling to go to the shop or work or whatever, or school. So that's a difference in planning terms. But, you know, completely, you know, see your point. And, yeah, it's something that in planning we do have to weigh up the two different proposals. Yeah.
Obviously, Mr. Pritchard is right next door in the open, so that would have applied to that listed building at some point. But that one's still there, and I don't get it. Because Mr. Pritchard's right there in his house. And there is another house being built right next door, which is less hassle than a pub. I don't...
Yeah, you know, without going through the planning history of why every single building is there in the countryside, different planning regimes, but the plan that we've got before us today, the development plan, which we need to make planning decisions against, you know, aims to see new build housing developments in other locations. But, you know, we have heard the kind of uniqueness of this site. But, you know, from a purely planning point of view, that's our position. Our starting point is the development plan.
And I just wanted to just also point out that I think if you look at the reasons for refusal, I think one of the issues is that the current submission that we're considering today fails to demonstrate the need for housing. So I think that's a key part of what is sort of for where our officers have come from in terms of how they're looking at the policies.
Thank you. I've got Councillor Legg and then I'm going to Councillor Hall.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to ask, when we stood looking on the ground, I noticed the land levels look considerably low.
You could ask for a condition to demonstrate a suitable drainage strategy, which would take into account surface water and, you know, different land levels.
Happy? Go on.
Could I put that forward, please?
So should we be minded then you would like a condition for a drainage report first?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'll come back to that once we've finished our deliberations. Okay, any other? Yeah. Councillor Legg.
Thank you. Could I ask also about, they spoke about triple glazing, soundproofing all we've got is an indicative design, so we can't really make a judgment on that. Is there any chance that the design could come back to committee or not?
Oh yeah, you're right, Councillor Legge. In the planning submission and the planning statement, there is a reference to and the agent mentioned it as well earlier about high environmental standards, but we haven't been demonstrated with how much that will be on top of normal building regulations and if it's going to meet zero carbon. We haven't got those details. If the decision is to approve it, then that would have to be before us.
Councillor Legge?
Could we not defer until we've got relevant information?
There is that option.
Yeah, there is the option of deferring, obviously, taking into account the reasons for refusal. There's obviously information there, and obviously there was other things that members wanted to look at or consider, but obviously if we did defer, we would have to make sure that we did document exactly the reasons for referral, because that would be the only reason that they'd be able to come back to committee with.
It was just on the design to make sure we meet all the targets.
Meet all the targets in what respects?
Well, to be net zero.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it was mentioned triple glazing, soundproofing, to name just a couple.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Okay, nothing to come back on at this moment. I'm going to go to Councillor Hall first and then to Councillor Lamb.
Thank you, Chairman. Okay, so I think we need to deal with the big issues first and then look at the details of potential conditions after we've discussed what I think are the major issues. And when I sat down, I thought this was a straightforward refusal, but actually I'm now mindful that approval could be the right result for this. Policy SB24 is the critical one for this, I think, and I completely understand why the officer team have to start from a position of refusal on SB24. And when you've got a settlement without a boundary, everywhere is considered in the countryside, which is the case here. And a few years ago, we had a case of another village with no settlement boundary, and somebody wanted to build in the grounds of their property within the built area of the village, and that was a refusal on SP24 because effectively it's in the countryside. I thought that was a very hard way to deal with SP24, given that most villages, or all the villages that you can think of that do have development boundaries, all of those curtilages of larger properties within those development boundaries have been built in already. So, to the most part. So, there has to be a cut-off somewhere, and the interpretation of SP24 has to be hard-lined from the officers. I get that, but I think that there should be the possibility of exceptions. We should be able to make exceptions on any policy as long as we are clear about why we're making an exception. And I think in this case, there are lots of reasons why we could be making an exception. The first, obviously, is that it's a brownfield site, not a greenfield site. And if it was a little greenfield site, it would be no, wouldn't it? I think we probably all agree with that. It's a brownfield site. There has been a building there that's been occupied for hundreds of years up until very recently. That, I think that has to have some consideration and has to be a reason for us making an exception. The other reason I'm not entirely happy about the recommended reasons for refusals, and I've been scratching my head about this, because usually highways don't back us up when we try to suggest that somewhere this might cause a highway problem or it might cause a highway danger. And highways are very slow to actually help us out by saying, yes, we would say you shouldn't do this because it might cause a highway danger. In this case, I'm totally perplexed as why, how you can suggest that having a single dwelling can cause more of a highway problem than a busy pub. I just don't get it. A lot of people walked to and from the Robin Hood when it was open from the village regularly, and I think that assessment is wrong. I think that it's been understood wrong. I think whatever highway said in the response, they couldn't possibly mean that a single dwelling can cause more of an issue for highway than a pub. So the next issue is SP8 and not having an intrusive building in the landscape, and I think the exception in this case is that there has been a building in the landscape up until recently. And I get why. I mean, if the building was still standing, we wouldn't be having the conversation, because it would be rebuilding an existing building. Okay, we might be having a conversation about changing the use of that building, but surely that would be a lot more straightforward than there isn't a building, so we have to treat it as if it's a greenfield site, effectively. So I think if we can make it clear that those are the reasons we're making exceptions, I don't see that it's a problem to permit this application. So obviously subject to all the things that Councillor Legge and others have mentioned about potential conditions for things. But I just wanted to clear up this issue of the policies and the potential for overturning on what are very important policies in the local plan and other planning framework, so that we can have a proper discussion about that, because if we are serious about permitting, we need to be straight as to why we think there are exceptions to the interpretation of those policies. We don't want then somebody else saying, oh, that's been approved, we can get houses anywhere in the countryside in East Staffordshire. That wouldn't be what I would be suggesting.
Thank you, Councillor Hall.
So I'm going to propose permit.
Okay.
And perhaps if we can have a debate about it before we go to a vote.
Yep. So I've got down that you're proposing to permit this development, which is against our officer's recommendations, and you have very valid reasons that you're putting forward for your reasoning for that. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to continue with the debate first, and then we'll come to the seconding around this whole thing, and then we can go from that point. I'm going to go to Councillor Lamb, please.
Yeah, well, I can see some of the sort of the points that have been raised. I guess my concern is that, bearing in mind it is just an indicative design, then I can't say if it's going to be intrusive or not, because it could be intrusive because we haven't seen the detailed design. I've also got similar concerns on the drainage, because I think in the past we've seen situations where drainage has come up as an item, something's been discussed, and then it's caused problems further down the line, and we can't seem to do anything about it. So I think it's really important that if this was a full design here, then I would probably be open to discussion. But because it isn't, I certainly wouldn't at this stage support the application.
Thank you, Councillor Lamb. Councillor Whittaker.
Yeah, I can see some of the issues surrounding the drainage, but I mean, we're looking at the site there. Presently, it's car park, so it's hard standing area, and the footings of the building. Obviously, there's going to be sort of quite a large area of grassland on that and garden, and obviously, with the right drainage, I don't think that's going to be an issue. One of the big issues with this was the fact that the building was torn down, obviously. If there'd been a wall left or whatever, that would have been a far easier application than we're faced with today. But that's not the case. The applicant, in their best will, sort of intended that it was, well, was under the impression it was unsafe and a fear of vandalism, whatever, so they took it on themselves to pull it down, which, same as that, that was a very unfortunate incident. But, same as that always says, we are where we are, and that's what we're faced with now. And I think we can put enough conditions on this and leave it to the officer's discretion with the design of this, so it does tick all the boxes we want. and I wouldn't like to see this deferred at this stage. I think we're in a position we can put conditions on and make those decisions now. So that would be my way forward.
Thank you, Councillor Whittaker. Councillor Barker.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I think we've got to be realistic. I mean, what they're asking for today is approval in principle before they spend a lot of money designing and anything else. And I think once they've, if we give that approval in principle, it still comes back to us to say whether the design that they put in is adequate. Or can we insist that it comes back to us, as Councillor Legge suggested earlier? That's a better two-tier approach than deferring it, in my opinion.
So, yes, we can insist that this application does come back to us for our consideration. Councillor Legge.
I'll take away to defer then.
Okay.
And go with Councillor Barker's suggestion.
Okay, any further discussion? Councillor McKinnon.
It was just a question about, I'm taking issue with the officer's interpretation of sustainability. I think, as people have said, people walk to the pub, so it's perfectly possible for people to walk from the house to the village. It's perfectly possible to go by bicycle. You're only 2 miles away from your Toxteter, so I think the idea of it being unsustainable doesn't hold up. And also, there are electric cars now, which are more sustainable than petrol and diesel ones, so we could put a condition, for instance, that there has to be an electric car charging point, and that would get over that issue as well. So what I'm saying is I'm going with the approval because I don't think the sustainability argument holds up.
Thank you. Okay, any further debate, discussion around this point before I move for seconding? No further comment. So we have a proposal put forward to permit this development. Can I, in its outline, can I have a seconder for that, please? Councillor Barker? Okay. Just bear with me one moment. As many of you are aware, we do have a procedure to follow if we're going against our officer's recommendation. So we've given up some reasons here for a refusal. Does the head of our planning agree with that, and can we put together our proposal as we've got? And if you want to just say what was said.
Oh yes, I think we've heard clearly from the debate today, and you know, significant weight has been given to material considerations and the uniqueness of the site. I have made full note of those, which will go in the minutes. So in terms of a way forward, I've also made a note of some of the possible conditions that members have referred to as well, which will be quite a few, and there will be a few kind of standard ones that we would also include on an outline application. So we were discussing a way forward be for after this committee for those to be drafted between myself and the chair. Agree with the agent as we would in any normal application. If there's no agreement, then obviously bring it back to committee. But I suppose I have made a note of the ones that we have discussed, such as the standard of the house, the appearance, drainage, but whether there's anything else that members would like to discuss now in this forum, we'll take it from there.
Okay. Councillor Whittaker.
Regarding the issues with the local farmer, is there anything you can condition that sort of like making people aware that you know, this is a working farm and to resolve that at all or not, or is it just something that goes with time?
Not so much awareness. We wouldn't have anything that would do that. I suppose that would come through, you know, the conveyancing process of buying a house or whatever. But we would have conditions, as mentioned in the presentation earlier, that Environmental Health have said they would have conditions to do with kind of ventilation of the windows. So again, it depends on the design and where those what rooms they will be serving. But there will be kind of a standard condition that we would have for that.
Before we take a vote, can I just confirm that the recommendation is going to be approved subject to the conditions being agreed between the applicant, the plan manager and the chair, and if in the event of no agreement, then obviously it comes back to committee for further determination.
Okay, so if I have that proposed, can I have a seconder for that then, please? Councillor Hall.
Yeah, so obviously I'll repeat my proposal to make subject to the appropriate conditions being agreed between the planning manager, the chairman and the applicant.
Thank you. So we have that proposal put forward. And can I have it seconded at that, please? Okay, Councillor Barker, you're happy to second that one. Okay, any further discussion that we need to have for now? Councillor Lamb.
Can you just clarify, you're still talking about that coming back in its final solution to the planning committee?
So then, yes, the next stage would be it would come back to our full committee and then we can discuss the full application in front of us.
Okay.
Councillor Ashcroft.
Can we just make sure there are trees and hedges there because Mr Pritchard was concerned about that boundary line along his house as well.
Okay. We'll make a note of that for the conditions. Okay. Okay. So then I think we're at that point now that we can put forward. Councillor Legge.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I might have missed it. I do apologise, Chair. What did we say about the footpath that ran down the side of the fence and the trees? Did we say we were reinstating that or not? Sorry.
Oh, yes. So, you know, there won't be any closing up of the footpath. It will have to be protected in its, you know, the legal route. This is where footpaths get very confusing. So the definitive footpath, which is what I believe the speaker referred to earlier, is a paper version, but there's only, you know, one version. The one that we have on our mapping might not be 100% correct, even though we get it from the same source, but that's usually where there is a bit of difference. But, you know, from a planning point of view, the definitive footpath has to be, you know, kept as it is.
Thank you.
Okay. Right. Any further comment? Nope. Then I will ask for a vote on this then. So we're voting to approve the application with the conditions that will be discussed and deferred between myself, planning manager and the agent. And then any subsequent proposal that comes forward will come forward to our full committee. Okay, all those in favour, please. Any against? So there's no abstentions. So that has been carried. Thank you all. Right, so I'll carry on with our agenda. So item 6, request members have considered the appeals received and determined. Thank you. And item 7, request that members have considered the planning permissions that were circulated. Thank you. So then I move to the private part of our meeting. And I will move, therefore, that in accordance with Section 108(4) of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda.